T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
If the Patriots lose Tom Brady, one of their backup plans may end up being Andy Dalton.
I love it. I love it. I love it. What a great right. opportunity. What another what opportunity, great opportunity the Patriots have.
He's special. Dalton mishandles the snap. Giants football.
I think Andy Dalton's difference between making the playoffs and not.
Here's Dalton. Puts some air underneath it, and it's intercepted. Dre Kirkpatrick comes up with a football for Arizona.
Bill would take Andy Dalton, and it would be one of the better years of his career.
I agree.
I almost wonder if Andy Dalton might be a better fit for New England and what they're looking to do than a Cam Newton.
After all those years in Cincinnati, and he is sacked.
Pass up on Andy Dalton for $3 million?
That does not.
That is such chump change for a quarterback that you know can win.
Win
why?
More.
What is it? Dalton is wrecked.
You don't actually believe Dalton would have won 12 games here.
Oh, most definitely. So, yeah, I think Andy Dalton easily could have won 12 games with this team.
Oh, boy. It's wow. Hysterical. Was that me? Go back and listen to some of this
games,
stuff.
Dude?
So I'm reading all of the stuff out of Dallas today. I don't think the Cowboy fans and the writers and the media down there are feeling that same warmth that a lot of people were feeling about Andy Dalton. He sucks. He sucks.
Well, he sucked last night.
He sucks.
I think Ezekiel Elliott was worse.
He was the reason why they lost.
Listen, Ezekiel Elliott is the train. He's the guy that makes the offense go. He can't keep coughing it up like he did.
He sucks. The only hope Dallas has is they're in the worst division in football, and they've got 2 wins already. They're probably 4 wins away from actually winning the division.
Listen, I'm with Christian here. Like, he wasn't good in this game. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, Zeke fumbles twice. They go in. You're down 14-0. And then it's an 80-yard bomb to Kirk. Now you're down 21-0.
Well,
you know, Andy Dalton's not going to bring you back out of that. It's 21-0. The best player in your football team fumbled twice in a week that Dak Prescott got hurt. I do think there's a little bit of a hangover, a little shock factor for that Dallas team. I'm not saying Andy Dalton is great.
Shock factor with what?
I think Andy Dalton on this team, I would take Andy Dalton on the Patriots. I mean, Cam was the guy that I wanted. We started talking about Dalton because we didn't think Cam was coming. But, I still think he's okay.
Cam Newton is better than Andy Dalton.
Well, he does more. Sure, that's why I wanted him.
I mean, does he? Does he really? I guess he does more.
The threat to run. This team needs that.
He can run.
Especially with the receivers. When you don't have great receivers, you need the quarterback that has legs.
I tell you what, Andy Dalton would have hit James White on the run.
He's been going here.
What do you mean? What do you mean you can't believe him?
Well, he's a better passer. He's a better passer.
He's definitely
a better passer.
The only thing that saves Cam Newton is the fact that he's big, physical, and he can run.
And he makes mistakes. He always makes mistakes in the biggest moments of games.
He's not Ryan Fitzpatrick mistake level, or maybe they're about equal.
Why are you picking on Ryan Fitzpatrick? He's got a 70% completion rate this year. Okay, he's on target for 32 touchdowns.
Congratulations! And he'll have 33.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than Andy Dalton. How's that? Better.
Man, he went to Harvard. The other one went to.
Smatter. I don't know about that.
Smatter than that.
Where did Andy Dalton go? He went to
TCU.
TCU. That's right. He's a Horned Frog. I'll take him over a Harvard Crimson. Who kind of mascot?
No, Andy Dalton at the time. I mean, remember, we're sitting there. I didn't believe in Stidham. I don't think, some people did, I think. But it was more of like, what are you going to do here? You got to go find this guy, right? And at the time, they hadn't released Andy Dalton yet. They had just traded Joe Burrow. And you're sitting there saying, okay, it's Stidham ain't the answer. So you need somebody. And I think that's when Dalton signed with Dallas. And it's like, Jesus, I mean, this $3 million, there's your backup. Well, there's your starting quarterback. You could have got one for $3 million, right? So at the time, it was, You're searching for something other than Stidham, a guy you didn't believe in. And I still think, you know, if they came here, whatever. I don't know, you'd be 2-3. Maybe we should ask Wiggy what their record would be like, you know, with Andy Dalton as quarterback. It'd probably be the exact same team.
Yeah, anything would have been better than the alternative, which is the two guys that played against Kansas City. Anything's better than that. Like and going back to how did this all start, and was this really the plan all along? If Glenn is right and Cam Newton just tripped, fell right into their lap, and was willing to take the cheapest deal for a starting quarterback, former MVP, Super Bowl playing quarterback in the history of the league, then you know what? I don't understand how they thought that was going to be acceptable. Like, so would they be 1-4? Would they be 2-3 with Stidham as their quarterback?
Would he
surprise the Miami Dolphins?
Andy Dalton last night, and there was no Chandler Jones in this game to bug him. Andy Dalton was 34 of 54.
Yeah.
Through 54 passes.
Well, you're down 21-0.
I get it, but that's your job.
Second quarter.
If you're a passing quarterback, that's your job to get you back in the game if you're fumbling the ball. He had one touchdown, two interceptions, three sacks, and a quarterback rating of 65.
Not surprised. You're down early. Your only option is to throw the ball.
But he wasn't good at it.
And get after you. Listen, it's his first game starting. I'm not saying that he's great.
Through 34 completions. You got to look at the bright side. 34 completions.
Seasoned veteran.
Yeah. What's wrong with what do you have against guys with red hair?
I had nothing against guys with
you
red
say,
hair.
You say, why am I picking
I think
on?
It's, listen,
why
I,
am
I think it's fair to
some
say
of my
that,
favorite people.
Listen, Andy Dalton's not Dak Prescott. We get it. Dak Prescott's been working with these guys all year long. So he had 1 week to get ready for this game, and he looked like crap. You know.
Listen,
so,
I think Dallas has got a lot of problems, and their defense is awful. Okay, yeah. It's awful. And
all I'm saying is, like, you lose a starting quarterback. Any team in this league loses a starting quarterback, and they got to turn to Andy Dalton. That is a lot better than probably 28, 29 teams right now.
Yeah, and I would also add this, that the guy that you lost was throwing for like 500 yards a game. Like, you mentioned how bad their defense is. The only reason why they were even in games because he was throwing like crazy. So no matter who you had, unless you had Patrick Mahomes, the drop-off was going to be significant, right? It wasn't going to be close.
Andy Dalton is the same quarterback that we saw out there in Cincinnati, guys. He just can't get it done.
No, I
he's a guy
that,
that's got tools and people like him, but he just can't get it done.
I don't think anyone thinks he's great, Glenn. But give me some of the backups around the league. You know, I mean, obviously
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick and Tua. Okay, you know, you had Tua and Fitzpatrick. Okay, but I don't know. Would you rather – if Roethlisberger goes down, you think Tomlin would like to have Andy Dalton?
I think Andy Dalton for the Patriots, if you're talking about switching out, would probably be reminiscent of what you got with Brian Hoyer in that Kansas City game.
Oh, God, no.
That's what you would see with Andy Dalton. You'd see a lot of that.
No, you didn't see it in this game. What are you talking about? Hoyer's a joke. Andy Dalton's at least – he's much better than Brian Hoyer. Come on.
Not much.
Oh,
I would give
God.
You that he's better than Brian Hoyer. Not
oh my God,
much.
He plays in
so
the league.
Are you still on the Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl wagon?
No, but they're building something special. Going to steal a line from Christian.
I tell
no,
you what,
listen, he's got to be Kyler Murray's inaccurate passer. He can run like a son of a bitch, though.
Is Lamar Jackson light?
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Yeah, yeah, still a good team.
Yeah,
I mean,
but he's
running.
He's quick.
They're in a very difficult division. They're 4-2. I don't know. Can they win 9 games? Maybe. We'll see what happens.
He can't pass the ball.
They're better than you are.
Well, I mean, it is interesting. He's such a schoolyard quarterback.
Yeah.
He runs around. He sprints around. Even when he's going for first downs, he's just so athletically gifted that he'll make plays. But, I mean, you talk about Baker Mayfield not being able to see over the line, having to roll him out, having to drop him back at
he's
an angle.
Little.
I mean,
yeah,
he's the same way.
Yeah,
he's just not as dumb,
I
think, as Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield's even getting some heat right now based on, you know, just where the Browns are, what they're doing, and, you know, him having a terrible, terrible game, and the Browns aren't for real anymore. Newsflash, just want to throw that out there. But I still like Kyler Murray, but I like Cliff Kingsbury more, friend of the show.
All right, was this a turnaround game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They got down 10-0 early in the game, and then Gronk played his best game by far. That looked a lot like the Gronk we saw back here in New England.
I would say the thing that nobody's talking about, and it's probably a good thing, is the Tampa Bay Bucs defense. What Todd Bowles is doing down there is great. I mean, they're great against the run. They create turnovers. And even going back to last year, all the terrible positions that Jameis Winston put them in, Like, the defense is not getting any credit. If they win, it's going to be because the defense plays great. I mean, you'll give Brady a bunch of credit because those are the flashy stars, and Gronk will get a lot of credit. But it's the defense that's going to end up helping them win championships, especially with the teams that they got to go against. Think about the division that they're in. I mean, they got to go against guys like, Christian McCaffrey, Drew Brees. They got to play against some really, difficult teams that have a lot of speed offensively. They're built for it. And that's what stood out to me. It had nothing to do with Tom Brady. I always knew it was great. What stood out to me was how good their defense is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that game early on, when you watched that game, 10-0 Green Bay, they didn't have a feel for a blowout. And you sat there and said, they're about to get their doors blown off right now by Green Bay. And then he throws the pick six, and then he throws another interception. One. And all of a sudden, the whole thing just turned. You're right. Defensively, they changed that game. That's usually the way it is, right?
Especially against the run.
But even with the teams here with Brady, he's had great offenses before, but we look at when they won championships, and why was that? Well, it's because of their defense. So nothing's really changed. I mean, they still have a very good offense. It just, you felt like they didn't have the ball that much because of the pick six and everything else. But
yeah, and I even think that's not a, do you think you're going to get that type of performance by your defense, or Aaron Rodgers is going to have such a bad game where I think he threw for like 160 yards? I mean, it was like really bad for him. He was not even close to
two interceptions in the game, and he gets sacked four times, yeah. He was holding the ball a lot. But his offensive line looked terrible, though, and I give tribute to Tampa Bay. Their front were all over him, and they couldn't run the ball. What did Jones end up with? Nothing.
Nobody can run the ball against Tampa.
Yeah. No, they're good against
the
run.
One of the best run defenses in football, and they've been for 2 years. So now the secondary is a little bit better. They spent some assets, some draft picks in that area. So
their biggest issue last year was just all the turnovers, all the terrible positions that Jameis Winston put them in. Remember how many first play or first drive interceptions Jameis Winston threw? It was like a ton. There was a ton of pick sixes, so they were constantly chasing their tail. So credit to Todd Bowles as defensive coordinator, former Jets head coach, I might add, for doing an unbelievable job with those guys.
But yeah, I just sort of laugh now because they lost last week. We get it, to Chicago. It was a bad game.
No penalties in that game.
What's that?
I don't think they had any penalties in that game.
No, they had no penalties in this Green Bay Packer game.
Yeah,
and that was probably the biggest surprise and the biggest 1 week turnaround. But all this feeling of, Tampa Bay, who's going to have the better record? Then they go out and they blow out Green Bay, and they're 4-2. And you look like the way you did against Denver. And you don't hear that chatter so much. Oh, Bill definitely won that one. Tom is gone. Tom is done. Tampa Bay sucks. Like, they're 4-2.
We're going to you're going to go week to week with that. You know how that plays out.
No, my problem is that people don't go week to week. They go quarter to quarter. They go half to half. Maybe. I already had somebody sit there and say Tom was 3-for-11 in the second half. And I'm like, it was 38 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was 38-10. So he went 3-for-11. You know what they did? They ran the ball. They ran the ball 3rd-and-8. Throw it. Incomplete. Because they could. They're running time off the clock. It's 38-10.
Yeah.
So, it was predictable offense because they're running the clock out. But it's like, so Tom was good in the first half. Oh, good in the third quarter. But the fourth quarter, he didn't look good. I mean, this is what we do. I don't get it. He would throw three dimes. He's still got a great arm. He's still very accurate. He makes one bad pass. Oh, there it is. He's done.
There's the cliff.
Listen, he's good. Same thing with Gronk. He doesn't look right. Well, how's he looked the last couple of weeks? Maybe, just maybe, the guy missed football for a year, and they're taking it easy on him the first couple of weeks to get his legs underneath him and maybe save him for later on in the year. Just maybe that might be the case, which is what it kind of maybe looks like. We'll see.
We're going to see in the next few weeks because I still don't think things have settled down yet in the NFL, and you're starting to see some strange stuff happen right now. So what are the Colts? Do we know what the Colts are? They look good at times. They look terrible at times. I don't know what they are. There are a bunch of teams. The Titans certainly look like a legitimate team. We spent some time talking about them yesterday. They're a legitimate team. Steelers, legitimate team. I think we're ready to anoint them a team. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned the Bears. Defensively, that team is really good.
What about the Browns?
I'm not sure what they are.
And
there's a team I don't know. Do you? I don't know.
Well, they got beat up by the Steelers. It's not a surprise.
And Mayfield's got some nicks, too. He's got some injury problems.
He's got a little man complex? Is that what you're
going to say? No. He's got some injury problems. He's been beaten up.
I still think they're a good team. They're a good team. But, there's a lot of – there's again, there's like tiers. You know, there's like three or four teams in the AFC that are very good, that if you play them, you might look bad. And I don't want to judge you for looking bad against one of those good teams like Cleveland. You know, I mean, you go out there, they beat the Colts. You know, two teams, you sort of sit there and say, okay, what are they? Well, they went out and they beat the Colts. You know, the Colts, the Bills, the Browns, you're trying to figure out who these guys are, right? And, you know, they, listen, when they play each other, that's, I think, when you find out. When they play some of the elite teams in this AFC, they lose. That's just the way the league is right now.
All right, coming up next, anybody realize there's a World Series that begins tonight? World Series
who's
tonight, game one.
Who's playing in it? Who's playing in it?
It would be the Dodgers and and the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay Rays. Who are you rooting for? Who are you rooting for, Fourier?
Tampa is now the center of the sports world. Isn't that crazy?
How about that? The Lightning, the Rays, and maybe the Bucks. They could have three champions.
And they don't have a who's their? They don't have a basketball team.
The home of the champs.
So let's throw it out.
Miami Heat's basketball.
Let's find out. Let's find out from Red Sox fans who they're rooting for in the World Series. Are you rooting for Mookie Betts? Or do you do not want him to win? 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The small market thing is that's not on the players. Those guys are ball players, man. They're there to win the World Series the same way we are, and they're just in a spot where, you know, it's a small market. They didn't make it to the World Series on accident.
Here's your former Red Sox right fielder, Mookie Betts. He's in the World Series, which begins tonight. He'll be playing for the Dodgers. Dan Shaughnessy writes a piece today, "The Rays are easy to root for, but actually bad for baseball." Then he talks about everything they do is all based on spreadsheet baseball, analytics, platooning, defensive shifts, four-man outfields. Kind of similar to what the Dodgers do, right? Because they do every team in baseball now is being dictated by analytics. But here's where he lost me in this entire piece, because you can go on and say that maybe the Rays are good for parity, maybe they're bad for baseball because it's all small market stuff. He thinks for some reason the Red Sox want to become the Tampa Bay Rays. Where is he getting this other than Chaim Bloom worked for the Tampa Bay Rays, right? He's in a big market team right now. Andrew Friedman worked for the Tampa Bay Rays for years. He operated his team as a small market team. Now he runs the Dodgers, and he's operating it like a big market team.
Yeah, it's an awful article. Really, it's one of the biggest troll jobs I've seen, and he can't possibly believe this. And I heard Matt say the same thing. Both these guys, I don't understand how you can even. Dan says I hate the Rays because the Red Sox are trying to become the Rays. Bloom was brought in to assemble Tampa Bay Rays by the Charles. Bloom loves undrafted guys, journeymen, sleepers, hidden gems. He appears on a mission or a roster of no names who can win. We do realize that, like Tampa Bay, they don't do what they do because they want to.
Can't pay the guys.
They do what they do because they have to.
Right.
You have got the best small market team in baseball in the World Series and the best big market team in the game World Series, okay? And every small market team is trying to become the Rays. And it'd be better for baseball if they could. If they stop whining about, like, my payroll is so low, okay, well, try to do what the Rays do. Draft and develop. Compete every single year.
Do your job.
But they don't do their job. You know, they try to bottom out, and I get it, and they don't. There's no sustainability. Every big market team is trying to be the Los Angeles Dodgers. That is why Chaim Bloom is brought in here, to be the best team in baseball 4 years running, 5 years running maybe, while at the same time having the best farm system in baseball 4 or 5 years running, while at the same time having a payroll flexibility to bring in Mookie Betts, pay Clayton Kershaw and Bellinger as well, like, and draft a guy like Sager, draft a guy like Will Smith, draft a guy like Muncy, draft all of these guys. They have it all. That is what you want to be. This whole idea that Bloom is brought in here to cut, what do you think? He's going to cut payroll to $75, $80 million? Guys, is that what you really think? Like, it is a ridiculous article. It's Dan doing what Dan does, which is great, right? People click, people look, people get fired up like me. So he's just doing his job, but he can't possibly believe anything he's writing.
I think Andrew Friedman is the prime example of it. He leaves Tampa Bay. He goes out there to the Dodgers. He's operating at a much different level. Now, they're still doing a great job of building stuff through the minor league system, which he was good with in Tampa Bay. The difference is they're augmenting it by going out and getting guys like Mookie Betts and paying them big money. That's how the Red Sox want to operate, I think, going forward.
Yeah, and even when you look at it, it's like the teams with a lot of money, it's like the money, it kind of acts as one big giant eraser. Like, you can draft bad. You can do this bad. You can develop guys the wrong way. You can go through multiple managers and bench coaches. But, man, you can always kind of at least be competitive if you're just willing to, you know, make up with it by spending a lot of money. I would say, you know, if the Red Sox could go about their business like the Tampa Bay Rays and not spend a lot of money and still be competitive, don't you think they'd rather keep money in their pocket? People are still going to go to the games. No one's going to stop going to the games if they don't get big-name players. As
I don't
long
think
as they're
they
winning,
want that. I wouldn't want that. You want
the constant Pablo Sandovals to come in
and
complain about him.
No. What I'm saying is, and he says, like, he tries to think like the Dodgers are like the opposite of the Rays, and they're not.
No, they're not.
They are the Tampa Bay Rays. They just have an extra $125 million.
To fill in the spaces.
Yeah. Like, imagine the Tampa Bay Rays. If they could go and spend $30 million on an ace and put another one and put it with Glasnow and Snell and Morton. Imagine the Rays if they could go out and sign Mookie Betts and put a four-hole hitter behind their ass, too. Now you're starting to talk about the Dodgers, which is the difference. And you're a big market team. So Friedman's able to these aren't the opposites. These are the exact same teams. And the difference is payroll. Like, this is what you want to do. You know, and I don't understand how I can't understand that.
Dan doesn't understand that, or he's, as you said, he's fabricating a specific point because Dan's a pretty good columnist at this. He's been great all these years, and he's, you know, he's making it look a certain way. But he throws this line in. He's talking about 1,000 faceless, nameless players that you brought up. And then he says, perfect. Once the most popular team in town, the Red Sox have become anonymous in this market. And for that reason, Dan, I would tell you that that is exactly why the Red Sox will, over the next couple of years, augment what they think is a building minor league system to add big name players. See, because they need people to buy tickets and watch TV and listen to radio.
I'll say this. If anything, it's the Dodgers you should dislike. Okay? It's the Dodgers that can't get out of their own goddamn way. It's the Dodgers that have had the best team in baseball, but when they get to the postseason, you know, they're out here and they're trying to outsmart everything.
4 years in a
You've
row.
You've got
in
more
the World
talent
Series
on the field than anybody. But what do? You know, you start May instead of Gosselin because you want to go with the opener. You want to be cute. You got the best team. What do? You pull Rich Hill, you know, two consecutive years in a World Series when he's dominant. And all you did was do the other team a favor. Why? Because some guy up there who's like sleeveless and a headband and eye black in the analytic department that thinks he's part of the game is making decisions that have nothing to do with the field. The players are going to win. Both of these teams. Like, their analytics department are digging in right now. All right, find an edge. They think they're smarter than us. We're smarter than them. Give me an alternative lineup. Show me something wacky to do with pitchers. Nobody wants to roll their players out. I get it. Put them in a good position to win. If anything, the Dodgers and their analytical department, the reason why they haven't won a goddamn World Series in the last 4 or 5 years, and that's why I'm rooting for the Rays to win this one as well. Smarten up. You got great players. Let them freaking play. Stop pulling guys that are dominant because your computer says so.
Wow. That's all. I mean, I thought they wore pocket protectors and just had number two
eye black.
Behind
I didn't realize
ear.
That.
The geeks wear, wear eye black. I didn't realize
eye black sleeveless shirts and headbands.
But Lou's right. They
How about
they
a fanny pack?
They run the game, and they run the game out in L.A. That's the game today. You know, field manager is a guy that is more likely to be somebody that can motivate players, get players, you know, to respond, as opposed to a guy who breaks down all of the X's and O's. That's all being done with percentages upstairs in a box somewhere.
I mean, it's like the 2018 World Series. You sat there and said, this is Jesus. I mean, they're killing themselves with these analytics. I mean, you're taking, you know, just because the Red Sox throw a lefty, they take all their best hitters out of the lineup. Like, all of them.
Yeah.
You remember, it was like Muncy and Bellinger. Like, these guys are sitting because you got a lefty up there flipping. Now, we're not talking about Chris Sale. You know, E-Rod. E-Rod's going in there. This is pre-E-Rod. This is when E-Rod got benched when nobody liked E-Rod. In the World Series, he was great. But you took all your best hitters out. It was like, Jesus, just throw anybody. Like, throw Brian Johnson. Anything to get their best hitters out of the lineup. Like, stop doing us the favors. It's painful. Just let the guys play. You got the best team. You should beat Tampa in five, but you'll lose. You'll lose.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So it's almost like, hey, if you're not overspending, you're not doing it the Red Sox way. It's like, it's almost like it's devalued. It's like, oh, you know, you're going to turn us into Tampa. Good. Hey, you're going to turn us into awesome. That means they're, you know what? That means you've hired smart, you know, resourceful executives who aren't going to allow themselves to just do things one way. Like, they're going to actually try to find an alternative if they come to a dead end. They're going to make it work. To me, that is the ultimate. You know, give two people the same amount of money. Give someone who's frugal, and then find out who has the most money earned in 6 months. It'll be the guy that knows how to stretch it.
Yeah, but I think what Dan did in this column is he's looking at this past summer, and let's face it, this was a summer of auditions. They were bringing a bunch of people through the turnstile, trying them out, seeing if there's anything there, and then, you know, spitting them out on the other end.
It was a throwaway.
Right, that's what they were doing. So that's not how they're going to operate going forward. And I'll give Dan another one. In this market, and he should know better, if they don't have star players out there, they're not going to fill up Fenway Park. They're not going to get those big TV ratings. We know what the ratings were like this summer. They're not getting any of that stuff. They can't afford to do it in Boston. And it's even worse if you're bringing in that type of revenue and not spending it. In Tampa Bay, nobody goes to the games. Nobody gives a rat's ass about the race down in Florida. And so, therefore, there's no money coming in to be able to go and pay these players. When he tries to compare Boston to Tampa Bay, I think he's wrong. I think you hit it, Lou. The Red Sox want to be the Dodgers.
Everybody,
if I'm a big market team, everybody
market
wants, to be
team wants to be the Dodgers. Every small market team should want to be the Rays.
Yeah, they still haven't won. Did you guys notice that our own Tyler, our producer, is now writing columns?
He's a writer?
He's a writer now.
Well,
he's
we
like
asked
a basketball
him.
Guru.
We asked him to, didn't we?
Yeah. He's a basketball guru. I want to find out what trades he's got up his sleeve for the Boston Celtics. We'll do some of that coming up next right here on OMF.
They brought in Tyron Matthew.
I will bail you out a little
hold
bit.
On.
It is tough to say. It is tough to say because it, right? It is difficult. Honey Badger. Did you call him the Honey Badger? It's
no,
much easier.
It's I want to say like Walter Matthau.
Yes,
that's
very good.
I see it.
Honey, it's not Walter Matthau. Walter
they brought Matthau. In Tyron Matthau. Matthew.
Matthew.
Did I ever get it right? No, I don't. They brought I in Tyron did. Matthau. Matthew. Matthew.
Keep going.
Double down.
Give me
another
one.
Down.
One more try.
Yeah. Jesus. AJ Boy.
Wait, when's the last time Lou had one? I feel like Lou's gone a while without flubbing a word or flubbing a line.
No, give it time. Don't worry. That first week of the season, when you put your schedule together, it's got to be rivalry week. Play all very good games.
Rivalry week.
That's a good Bob Cousy impression right there.
I like it when you keep trying to fix it, and it just gets worse.
Rivalry. I don't know if he was hospitalized. Again, Von Miller was not hospitalized.
What? That's a difficult word, too.
Hospitalized.
Wait a second. Say hospitalized.
Hospitalized.
Just saying.
I don't know if he was hospitalized.
Guys that went to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. He went to the hospital.
Guys that went to the hospital. It's easy.
Yeah, no, then you start going, guys who were sick.
Yeah.
Damon Lilly, does he come back? And
oh, my God.
4 hours.
That's professional broadcasting.
You can't get it all right.
You should never
talking about
up.
Basketball. Let's throw some basketball out there. Ooh. Because this offseason may be more interesting than the actual Celtics
roster
season.
Building.
Did you say Wasta building?
No, roster building.
I think you said Wasta building.
I don't think I did.
I think you did.
But it's going to be very difficult, as a lot of these writers have thrown together, for the Celtics to do much. So this is Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons and their podcast. They're talking about trading Marcus Smart and the number 14 pick to the Warriors, or the number 2 overall pick. So let's listen.
So Golden State calls Boston, and they say, we really want Marcus Smart, and we can fit him in our trade exception. We'll offer number 2 for Marcus Smart in the 14. What does Boston do? Huh. I'm on the record as saying they can never trade Marcus Smart. I love Marcus Smart. But I do think if you're Boston the Celtics, loves- this is a chance now to get a potential multi-time all-star player to team with Jaylen and Tatum.
I think Boston should probably do that. My guess is Golden State would view that as selling low on number 2. You do have to be a little careful about if you're keeping Wiggins and you have Draymond Green. The other guys have to be able to shoot. And Marcus Smart can now shoot, but can he shoot? Can he capital S shoot? No, he can't.
I would say Zach Lowe got that. He got that correct. Boston would do that deal in a heartbeat, and Golden State would never do that deal. Ever.
I never know.
They would never do that deal.
No. You got a defender in Klay Thompson, too. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
But number 2, this, see,
and
this
Green,
is where,
obviously.
This is where, unfortunately, the NBA draft, you know, and just like players and everybody getting all excited about it. But don't you sort of lose some of the buzz with no NCAA tournament?
Yes, I think you do.
You know, usually you watch the NCAA tournament and, you know, you're watching it and it's going on for like the month and everyone's like, oh, they got to get this guy. Did you see him in this game? We need this guy. I feel like, when's the last time you follow like NCAA basketball? When it ended like everything else in March.
Yeah.
You haven't seen anything. They're going to have this draft, and you're going to be like, huh? The only interesting thing is if that was to happen, right now, like mock projected drafts, the number 3 pick. So you have an option if you were at 2. The draft, LaMelo Ball.
Oh. Does his dad come with him?
His dad does come with him.
His dad comes.
Never went to college. He'd be perfect weekly guest for us.
The big ball away.
6'8" point guard, LaMelo Ball.
Hey, any trade that includes Marcus Smart, I'm 100% on board.
You're very negative.
I'm going to get rid of the, you don't like him.
So our own Tyler here is now writing on WEEI.com. He's like one of the basketball gurus now on the website.
Are we really going to
So Tyler's come up with a bunch of trade ideas. And so give us some of your best trades here, Tyler.
So let's start with the Marcus Smart trade, since Christian Fourier is on board with trading Marcus Smart. Miles Turner is a guy who is on the trade block. It looks like Indiana is looking to move him. So in this trade, I have the Pacers getting Miles Turner from the Pacers, with the Celtics giving up Marcus Smart, Vincent Poirier, the number 26 overall pick in this year's draft, and 47, their second-round pick.
I'm not giving up Poirier.
A lot of potential there.
I'm not doing it. And that 47th pick, like, that's way
too
much.
Throw in Taco Fall.
See, Tyler loves the ESPN, like,
the trade machine.
The trade simulator. He loves it. He just, you know, other guys his age, you know, should be doing or would be doing other things with their time. What does Tyler play with? He plays with the ESPN trade. That's what he does. He plays with the trade simulator.
Does this one work? Did you try this one?
This one does work. The money works. And everyone came into my mention and said, oh, well, why not trade Gordon Hayward instead of Marcus Smart? That doesn't work money-wise for the Pacers. They'd have to give up a lot more money coming back to Boston if you did trade Gordon Hayward. So that's why Marcus is in that trade.
Miles Turner would be nice.
So the Celtics do have it's a $14 million trade exemption, right? Something like that. So they can do some type of deal that, even though they're over the cap, because the biggest problem they have right now is they're in deep luxury tax. This is almost like the Red Sox from a year ago. They are really in deep. I think they're going to have to pay $23 million in cap money. So give us more of your trades here.
This one was very unpopular on the Twitter machine. The Celtics trade point guard Kemba Walker, the Time Lord Robert Williams,
2020 first round picks, number 14, which is the Grizzlies pick, and their pick number 26. So 14, 26, Kemba, and the Time Lord. It's a big package, but you get back Paul George and Landry Shamet from the Clippers.
Okay, why Paul shooter. George with this team?
I think this team has so many ball handlers. You kind of obviously have to have a point guard on the court, but Jalen, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, those three guys, Marcus Smart, can take care of your ball handling responsibilities. So, yes, you do have to dress and play a point guard by position, but you have guys who can take care of ball handling here. And scoring an elite defense like what Paul George can provide, there's not many guys who can do that.
No, I get it. I just wonder, are we muddying the waters even more? Just offensively. Tatum, Brown,
more guys
Hayward.
That need the ball.
Yeah, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and all of a sudden here comes Paul George. And all of a sudden now, does you know Tatum is like, well, I'm the superstar, not you. Jaylen Brown's like, hold on. I'm pretty sure I get disrespected. I want to get more involved. I don't want to get less involved. And, I mean, Gordon Hayward might sit there and say, okay, cool. Whatever, I'll just play along. I don't know. But I just feel like that muddies the water. I like the Miles Turner. I think you need a center. I think that's what you need. And if you got to give up Marcus Smart to get it, hey, maybe take a step back there and you improve underneath.
Shouldn't you start with that? Like, what is ultimately your biggest need? Like, what's the biggest hole that you have? I mean, you can give Tice all the credit in the world for fighting back and playing well against, you know, for the most part, you know, he kind of did the best he could and it was successful, you know, multiple times. But in the whole, he's just not good enough. And so your biggest hole is at center, is in the middle.
It's a rim protector.
Yeah, and so you start with that. Any trade that you do, Tyler, you need to start with the Celtics, one, getting rid of Marcus Smart, and then two, bringing in a center. I would say Kemba Walker is not your problem. I think he'll be better next year.
No, I think the two things they need.
He's not the problem. He's got the perfect personality, too.
I think you're right. The two things they need are a center who can be a rim protector, maybe score a little bit, and they need another perimeter shooter coming off the bench. That's what they need. But the Kemba Walker thing is interesting because if you look at the money and look at where they are, and people don't talk much about that, but they are really in cap hell here. Six players are going to occupy over $120 million next year, and they still have to go and get all of those other players from the bench. To me, Kemba Walker is the one that I think I least need. I can afford to give him up, especially when I look at I'm on the books now for another 3 years with his contract, and the last year is like $37, $38 million. To me, that's rough.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if you say Kemba Walker is no longer on this team, I do not think I would be upset about it. Because then really, what just happens, it really becomes Tatum's and Jaylen Brown's team. And then let those two kind of fight it out or kind of, you know, organize it. But that's who's in charge.
Well, let's get Trainer Danny on the phone, okay? Because I'm thinking if you were to be able to swing Marcus Smart to
Green Bay? Yeah,
no,
let him play
to
safety.
Golden State and get the number two pick. And then you draft LaMelo Ball, and then you move Kemba, and you improve the team in other areas. Now, you're going to do some work at shooting guard, point guard, get some depth, veteran presence. But Kemba, can he get you that center? So, yeah, now we're moving. You got a 6'8 point guard that's not maybe a liability defensively as Kemba could be. Yeah. Move it up a little bit. Shake it up a little bit.
All right, so you get two other trades here with bigs. Go ahead.
I do. This one I really like. Jared Allen is a guy who I think KD and Kyrie is kind of on the outside looking in. Love DeAndre Jordan. The very first move the Nets made when they replaced Kenny Atkinson with Jacque Vaughn, the very first move was move Jared Allen to the bench and DeAndre Jordan to the starting lineup. So Jared Allen's kind of the odd man out, even though he's the better player. But a really good rim protector, huge wingspan, can protect the perimeter, so he fits Brad Stevens' defensive scheme. So I have the Celtics getting Jared Allen and shooting guard Rodions Kurucs. Yeah, I don't even know what he does. He's just a throwing guy. And in exchange for Romeo Langford, the Time Lord, and two first-round picks, number 26 this year and next year's first-round pick.
Why would they do that?
I like
honestly, like 26. Ooh, like these first-round draft picks at 26, you think they get excited about 26? Like, if you're not in the top 5, 6, 8. Does anybody get excited? We've been down this road before, right, with the Celtics. Oh, they got three picks between, you know, 11 and 20. They're going to package them all up and jump up to 3. Nobody wants them.
Well, you can give up 14, which is the Tyler Hero range. He was a major player in this year's playoffs, and he's a rookie who contributed as a teen draft pick.
It's also the Romeo Langford range.
It was. One pick later, yes.
I don't know. I just think you're going to give up more than that.
I tell you the other reason they're going to have to get a big, and I do not believe they're going to bring back Enes Kanter. He'll come back. He has a player option. They're going to deal him away. And he may be a throw-in in another deal because they need to get rid of the money.
Didn't he send out like an Instagram post, like almost thanking people of Boston? Seriously, for like a great year, and I love my time here. And it seemed like... Now, you said he could pick up his option, but he probably knows he's not going to be here. If he picks it up, he's going to be gone. But it seemed like he already sent out like the, hey, thanks for everything kind of post.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But if he did, maybe he already knows that he's going to go. I think they have a major money problem that they have to deal with. You could sit there and say, well, is Wick Grosbeck willing to go over the luxury cap? I think he is. But if you're not improving your team and you're paying $23 to $30 million additional on the payroll, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm sorry, cancer's not really worth it that much. I think you're going to have to find a big unless the Time Lord improves his game dramatically. All right, you got another one here.
Yeah, the last trade I have here is for John Collins of the Atlanta Hawks. They reportedly do not want to give him big money, which makes no sense to me. So if you don't want to give him big money, maximize your value now by moving on from him and getting back a former first-round pick in Romeo Langford, another one, Robert Williams, the 2020 first-round pick, number 30 overall, and next year's first-round pick. So basically four first-round picks, although they're not early
really
in the draft.
You're really charitable. Langford, giving it up. Robert Williams, and Carson Edwards. Wow. Jeez.
Carson Edwards, yep.
Wow.
I know. I'm going to trade with Tyler. He'll just give you everything.
Well, Robert Williams and Carson Edwards have, like, no value in my mind.
No.
I'm not a Time Lord fan. I think he showed flashes, but, I mean, are we going to wait till year five, year six for him to turn it on?
He can't play man-on-man defense.
No.
That's his problem. He is a shot blocker, and he's got great range. He can come over from the weak side and block a shot, but the problem is his guy one-on-one, he can't stop him.
I think it's too risky to, like, hope that he develops.
Yes,
like,
right now that's all they have.
Yeah, your team is too good to put it all on the hope that Robert Williams kind of takes it to the next level, isn't it?
Your win now moves can't be based on hope. They have to be based in production.
No, you're too good. Like, you're too good of a team right now to hope that this guy figures it out and becomes an impact player. Yeah, I'm not saying he won't, but I'm just saying it seems too risky for what's at stake here with this team.
Do you think they go out and try to find a taker for Gordon Hayward with that 1 year? Because he's going to pick up the player option, especially in a COVID season now. He's going to pick that up. Do they try to deal him away? Now, it won't give you as much in return, but it does open up some money for you, get you below that luxury tax. Do you do that?
Man, when you look at him, I guess my thing is, do you think he's ever going to be what you originally wanted him to be? I mean, are you just sick of dealing with the unpredictability of his career as a Celtic? To me, he's kind of got some N'Keal Harry stink on him when it comes to every time we need him, something bad happens. Or he's always kind of involved with something that doesn't help the team, and not to his own doing. I mean, he's had a major injury that wasted 2 years for him. And then this past year where he was hurt and then got hurt during the most important time of the season.
So I think it's irrelevant. If he comes back and he has a great season, and I'll tell you why. Because you're paying him $34 million, and at the end of next season, you're going to have to give Tatum a supermax contract, 30% of your cap. And then are you going to also re-sign Gordon Hayward? No way. Mm-hmm. Even if Gordon Hayward takes a cut in pay, and if it's not 34, it's 25, 28, you're not going to re-sign him.
No, I don't think you are. You signed him because you weren't sure what was going on with Jalen and Jason Tatum, right? They're young players. You wanted to bring in an all-star. It made all the sense in the world. But I think given where those two players have taken you, I think it's time to kind of, you know, sit there and say, okay, there's other areas we need. You know, like at some point you can't just, you know, keep acquiring, like, you know, those types of players. Wing guys, I get it, but you got to sort of cut it and say, okay, these are our two guys there. We need to improve. You know, at the center position, we need to get bigger, more physical, whatever. Get some veteran shooters off the bench. Like, there's got to be other areas to round off a team rather than just sit there and say, you know, listen, we're great. Not many teams have a Jason Tatum, you know, Jalen Brown, Gordon Hayward, you know, at the wings. Oh, that's great, but if it takes away from other areas of your team where you should be improving, that doesn't really help you out in the long run, does it?
It does not. And similar to baseball, they've got kind of that repeater penalty that if you go over the luxury tax over a period of time, that it hits you much bigger than if you didn't. And I'm looking at their money situation right now, guys, and they got no real movement here. I mean, good luck trying to make a trade. This will not be easy, and maybe you have to get a third team involved, but this is not going to be not going to be easy. But do we all agree they can't come back with the same team, can they?
Well, why not? I mean,
they're not good enough.
The one thing they need is a center. That's what they need. If they came back with exactly the same team and they just added a center that was a little bit, I mean, and then, like you said, a shooter off the bench, I think that's a complete team.
How do they get those two guys, though?
Well, I mean, listen.
You've got to give up some of the guys
you've
got.
Put it in the Tyler.
Tyler, get back to the trade machine. Figure it out.
Put these names in there.
No, there's got to be some tweaks. He's got. I mean, if he thinks his team is good enough, then he's got to put a bench to show it. He's got. You know, he can't rely on his last two drafts and say, "All these kids coming off the bench will get it done." Can't happen. Got to improve that with a veteran or two and get a center. And have Tice be your sixth, seventh man coming off the bench. Second big.
I know we have to break with it. If they do make a trade, it's going to have to be involving one of two guys, Marcus Smart or Gordon Hayward. If they make a trade with anyone else, it's not going to improve the team. Those are your two most valuable trade pieces, Smart and Hayward, so it's going to be one of those two guys going out.
Yeah, but from a financial standpoint, Kemba Walker may make the best one to trade.
Well, that'd be like a home run splash to land Paul George. I don't think that's going to happen. No chance.
All right. This hour's been brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams. Jeep Adventure Days. Get your new 2020 Jeep Renegade today. Well, it was a poor performance by the Patriots here on Sunday, but was it a fluke? Is it possible that a lot of stuff went wrong? We get to all of that and more coming up in the final hour of OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.